Stories, fables, ghostly tales. Welcome, lovely listeners. Are you ready for part two of Vilification by Shannon Higdon? Good! Today we learn more about our protagonist's past, what became of them after high school, and his relationship with Wiki over the years, uncovering what one such relationship can lead to. So, make sure you have your hot beverage ready. I've got my French Earl Grey. So good. And let's turn the lights off, turn up the sound, and get ready for something different. Daniel Winchester was actually a Daniel IV, coming from a lineage, and the certainty of him being at the head of his father's company was decided before he was born. If his parents had gotten lucky the first time with him, there is no telling how many children they might have had before they got a boy. In his father's eyes, his mother's sole responsibility was to give birth to a Daniel before he died. When he was finally born, she knew she had done well. Over time, Daniel was able to see what kind of toll that responsibility took on his mother, and vowed to never make his wife do that. If he were to ever be blessed with a child, be it a boy or a girl, they would be loved and have a place in the family business, if that's what they want to do. Daniel would have also never decided their destiny for them. Daniel IV got serious about the business, while Daniel III slowly succumbed to lung cancer in a vicious battle that left the entire family with scars by the time the old man finally passed away. On his 22nd birthday, Time magazine put Daniel on the cover as one of the youngest presidents and CEOs of a Fortune 500 company. He was able to bring the company to success his father never dreamt of, as well as his own personal life. He met Mary when he was 25, and all childhood infatuations did nothing to prepare him for the impact true love would make. They were married within the year. It was an amazing period, with only one thing left wanting: a child. Mary had been, since her early childhood, desperate for a child of her own, a little girl. Mary had known the name of her offspring from the tender age of 5, Sophie Lynn. A beautiful wedding and a beautiful little girl were Mary's only goals for her life. And where some may have seen that as a simple and antiquated ideology, Daniel loved the hell out of her for that. He had decided on their third date that if that was the way things worked out, then he would have no issue with the Winchester Empire being handed over to a Sophie the First, instead of a Daniel the Fifth. If only he'd been able to provide that for her. If only. Specialists were seen, medications were taken. It was really the only sore spot between them, and when the arguments began, they decided they weren't going to let it damage what they did have. If it was meant to be, it would be. That was how they saw it at the time. They enjoyed each other, the company's success, and the perks that money had to offer. They were still young and had time ahead of them. There was also plenty of time ahead to figure it all out. So traveling the world and racing sports cars on his weekends became his intoxicant of choice. And it would be another 12 years before he would take another narcotic drug again. That moment happened in 2003 and was due, in large part, to Wiki's influence once again. It had been at least a decade since Wiki had been back to the East Coast, and he felt that it was his obligation to come to the big city and visit his old comrade in delinquency. Despite the predictions of most who knew him, Wiki went on to become quite successful in his own right as a chef. Snatched away by a Michelin 5-star restaurant in Los Angeles, Wiki had gained the reputation as the celebrity chef to the stars. It took a reality cooking show to finally pull him away from the sunshine and flashing cameras. Daniel was actually apprehensive about seeing him at first, but with the loving, You have no friends. Insistence of Mary in his ear, for 2 days, he decided to give his old friend a chance.
What's the worst that could happen?
She had asked. He had simply shaken his head. She didn't know, Wiki. Wiki took Daniel to an uber-exclusive restaurant in the village, as guest of the head chef there, and they were seated in a private room with just the one table for the two of them. Wiki was the one who insisted on the wine, even though Daniel had informed him of how long he had been sober.
Did you quit because you were an alcoholic?
Wiki asked. No, Daniel had replied.
Did you quit right when you wanted to?
He had grinned. Yeah, their old pattern of enabling still fit like the snug sweater they had forgotten that they owned.
Then what's the big deal?
Wiki's logic always mystified him. Daniel could always see that his suggestions held the depth of a wading pool, but it never stopped him from diving in head first. Not even then. One bottle became two. The meal was fantastic, when they could take the time from laughing at each other's stories to actually eat any. They were on after-dinner brandies when the head chef, Sean, finally joined them at the table. There they sat and talked for another hour, long after the rest of the restaurant staff had clocked out and gone home, or somewhere else to do their drinking. After the brandy came the sherry. After the sherry came the grappa. After the grappa came the absinthe, and after the absinthe came the cocaine. Sean poured the white powder onto the glass tabletop and began to cut it into small lines with his paring knife. Daniel watched him throughout the preparation process, to the point that he was holding the straw in his direction, without it really registering what he was doing. In an alcohol haze, he just blinked stupidly at the offer. Wiki took his turn instead, and monkey see, monkey do, and the next thing Daniel knew, he was high on cocaine. It was a different, wired high. The tranquilizing effects of the booze were suddenly washed away, while his senses seemed to sharpen to a fine point, if not a quivering, jittery point. He felt like he could run a marathon or wrestle a bear. He felt like effing Superman. That had to be the greatest feeling on the earth, and he had Wiki to thank for it, and to hate for it. Wiki eventually left New York for California again, and admitted fully that it could be another 10 years before he made it back.
It's your turn to come out west, he had said on the tarmac,
and while Wiki did leave, his influence stayed behind. Daniel had never thought of himself as being a weak man with an addictive nature, having after all quit smoking cigarettes, marijuana, and the drink in his life, all with relative ease. The problem was, he hadn't enjoyed those things nearly as much as he did the cocaine. It didn't take long to graduate to crack, and a few weeks later, he found himself locked in his expensive office, sucking on the end of a blackening glass pipe. He was so tore up that night, he could barely see straight. Pupils struggled to lock onto their targets. The middle of his desk suddenly became the edge of the desk, and the pipe found its way to being shattered on the floor. While on the floor, desperately trying to scrape up the broken pieces of glass, Daniel caught his reflection in the darkened 40th floor window, and it sickened him. The image was a striking disparity. His massive office filled with baubles and decorative items more expensive than most middle-class homes, set against the graceful juxtaposition of him on his hands and knees, like a common street junkie. And it slammed into him with a physical reverberation. He had to quit. He decided, then and there, that the shattering of the pipe was fate, a message well received. No pipe meant no finishing off the crystallized little rocks beckoning from the container on his desk. Falling back into the substantial chair, Daniel held his hands to his eyes and cried. He cried for all the things he hated about himself in that moment. But even more than that, he cried
for the fact that the desire to smoke the rest of the crack was stronger than the desire to quit. Daniel did want to quit. He really did. But more than that, he wanted to not quit. What he really wanted was a new pipe on his desk. He probably could have had one delivered to the office, but not right then. Money had, over the years, ensured many luxuries and created scenarios that he knew weren't available to the average Joe on the street. However, a discretionary crack pipe delivery service at 10 in the evening wasn't an amenity he had on speed dial. Calling his assistant Andy was a possibility. Andy could be amazing with the services he had been able to provide him in 5 years of employment. But again, there were certain things that Daniel couldn't afford for anyone to have knowledge of. Daniel had felt so helpless in that moment, weak and addicted. Victimized by the strength of his compulsion, he found himself intensely focused on one singular thought: an unbroken pipe for his crack. He knew the expression, a glass dick, and hated it. But there and then he was certain there was no end to the vulgarities he would have performed for one. Probably. Was he really nothing more than a piece of shit crackhead? Is this how far down the rabbit hole he was? He sobbed, chest heaving. The mental image of the unbroken crack pipe that should have been was burning itself into the back of his eyelids. The wavering voices inside his head ceased their battle for the sobriety of Daniel's soul, and he brought the full intensity of his being into the details of that image, his mind poring over the smallest minutia, and for a second, something felt different. When he pulled his hand back from his glistening eyes, the mirage seemed to remain. With his handkerchief, he wiped the tears away and looked again. It was still there, a perfectly formed doppelganger of the smoking utensil he had just shattered only minutes before. Daniel looked at the broken glass mingled with the nearly indiscernible crack crystals that remained on the floor. Seconds passed, and then back to the desk pipe. Then back to the glass pile on the floor. Then back to the pipe. This went on for a good minute, while his mind did the mental gymnastics obviously required to figure this out. He reached out to touch the unused pipe, just to verify that he wasn't somehow stuck in a perpetual hallucination. It was cold, smooth, real. Had he had two pipes? Perhaps he had just forgotten. No. No, damn it, no. And then like a flood it came back to him. That summer with Wiki in 1984, and all of the party tricks he had learned, this had to be like that. Daniel remembered, but only barely, being in a marijuana and alcohol-induced stupor and having certain telekinetic abilities. It had been so long ago. He hadn't thought about it in more than 10 years, from what he could remember. It was part of a life he left behind, and now had returned to. Moving an object with his mind was one thing, but creating one, creating matter, was a totally different one. As different, one might say, as the difference between being high on weed and being high on crack cocaine. Picking up the new pipe, he proceeded to smoke the remainder of his stash. This night was the turning point. This was where his life took a wrong turn down a darkened corridor where nothing from the light dared to live. And it all happened because one question came into his mind, stark, straight from the depths of hell itself. Can I create something that's alive? That night turned into 3 years of hell. The crack quickly became less and less effective, especially once his main goal had been determined. After a week, there were painkillers added to the already toxically addictive mix. From there, heroin was an easy leap. Daniel had begun to devote all his time and energy to his new project, and everything else in his life suffered for it. Mary tried to understand. She was a loving and devoted wife, and truly believed it when they said, "For better or for worse, in sickness
and in health. She had seen addiction in her own family and knew it for the sickness that it was, spending the better part of the first year reassuring him that he would get better and things would work out well in the end. She wasn't familiar with the extent of Daniel's vices, however, as he kept her in the dark about the hard stuff. To Mary, he was an overworked man who turned to prescription painkillers and bourbon. It wasn't that he thought she would leave him exactly, if she knew the full extent. But that wasn't the point. He didn't want her to know. In Mary's eyes, he was a bastion of independent strength and courage. Daniel Winchester was a man's man, and he didn't need to be helped. If anything, he was the one who did the helping. Daniel knew at that moment that he took this away from her. The moment he stripped away that mirage and let her see the true nature of his soul and the many, many vulnerabilities that he had and the image that she would never get back. They say that you can't get a second chance at a first impression. He didn't know if that were true, but he did know that you can't get a second chance at a last impression. So, for nearly 3 years, he avoided her, and when they did see each other, they fought. Only a little at first, but then more and more, louder and more violently. He was missing therapy appointments and scheduled appointments for rehab clinics. The company could only act as a viable excuse for so long, before it became apparent to all that he was unable to conduct his duties. 6 months was longer than it should have taken for the board of directors to remove him from his position as the corporate executive officer and to place him on paid leave. Since he quit actually doing the job after a day or two. The largest majority of his time was spent in a private cabin upstate, which he had purchased under a pseudonym for one specific reason. It may not have had all the amenities to which he had become accustomed over the years, but the one thing it did have was lots and lots of drugs. If the DEA were ever able to stumble across his wooded getaway, they would probably have thought that they captured a kingpin, believing, surely, that it couldn't have all been for one person's consumption. They would have been wrong. The massive amounts of alcohol, cocaine, crack and smack stashed away in the retreat were for his use solely. It wasn't for the purposes of enjoyment, however. This wasn't some crash-and-burn plan to sedate himself straight to death's door. This was a matter of science. This was about doing something that had never been done before. About creating something. Something that the world had never seen before and would never forget after. If Daniel Winchester had to die so that his child could live, then so be it. Sophie started as an idea. She was the child they couldn't have naturally, except she was. The personality was built first, the love and compassion of Mary, with his intelligence and fortitude. She was precocious and inquisitive, full of a burning hunger for more of the world, exactly what any parent would want. When she began to take form in Daniel's mind, she was around 3 years old. Mary's curly blonde hair, green eyes, and cheekbones defined Sophie's features. She was slender and beautiful, and to anyone with eyes to see, very much her mother's daughter. Day after disappeared day, he sat there in the cabin, barely clinging to consciousness and reason, while thinking about her. He dreamed about her. He daydreamed about her, constantly running her image through his mind. Until he could see every detail, from her lacy pink dress to the white ribbon in her hair. Other than her teeth, which were slightly crooked, like his, the only resemblance she bore to him was in the facial expressions that she used when talking and the cadence of her voice. People would call her Little Danny in the future for the quirks she would share with her father. And this concludes Chapter 2. Of Vilification by Shannon Higdon. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. We found out more about our protagonist's state of mind,
how he came to be from episode 1, and what they're hoping to accomplish using drug magic, that's what I'm calling it, regarding their daughter, Sophie. We'll find that out in our next episode. Join me then, and if you enjoyed this episode, show it some love with a like, share it around, and let your family members and pals know that not only what a podcast is, because truthfully some people don't know, which is understandable, and two, that it's 100% free to listen to, and always will be. My own personal thought is, people who aren't listeners are just strangers who haven't heard of the podcast yet. That aside, have a fantastic night, or day, and till next time.